They're very high margin businesses. As I said, they are already models operating in the UK and Germany, and the US is, because it's modular, as many of these technologies are, the US is going to be, just several modules of what's already operating in Europe. And we are planning a second hub in Nevada, a third hub in South Carolina. Ultimately, we would like to develop 10 hubs in the US. And if we are successful in doing that, and we've already got enough feedstock for the first hub, actually, then we should have a business worth, $5 to $10 billion. So that's the first business, and that's the one that we're looking at spinning off in a year's time on NASDAQ, which we've announced.
Good day, everybody. It's me, Steve Yang, here with Julian Treger. We have CEO of Kotek. Julian, for those of us who don't know, first of all, if you can start off with your ticker, your website, and I'd love to ask you some questions.
With pleasure, Stephen. Thanks for having me on. So it's CTH. We're on the TSXV, and we're also on the OTC. The Kotek website has our corporate presentation as well.
And that's kotek.ca. That's kotec.ca is my understanding.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Julian, tell me all about you guys. What are you guys all about?
Well, we started Kotek a couple of years ago, but we came with a significant pedigree of investing in the natural resources space. So, the board and myself have a lot of experience. And we were thinking that time was ripe for a new model for the mining sector. It's extraordinary that this sector is one of the only ones left that hasn't really been disrupted by technology. Yet people have spent billions of dollars looking for technologies, and they're out there. They just haven't been adopted by the large corporate. So we, through Tom Albanese, who used to run Rio Tinto, one of our directors, we employed the guy who had run Rio Ventures. And we looked around the world for hundreds of different technologies, and we've ended up investing in six, which are novel process technologies. They're not science experiments. They are things which have already developed beyond laboratory stage, and we help them with financing and also our connections to scale the business. So we help incubate them. But we're not a tech VC, which is what a lot of people thought we were doing for the first 2 years, because Kotek is all about using the technologies which we have interest in, which we have some exclusivity over, to unlock the commodity value of waste, of tailings, of dumps, of e-waste, which we think with the technologies we can uniquely do and very quickly. So this is a timely solution to the problems of the Western supply chain now, particularly in critical minerals, because we have, through our technology, solutions as to how to deal with waste that has very high iron content, very copper, vanadium, titanium, manganese, tungsten, and also rare earth batteries. And we have solutions for waste which has very fine materials, difficult to manage, very hard rock, which historically were very expensive to grind, and also for low-grade waste, which has generally been what's left behind. So now that we have those technologies, we're attacking the waste opportunities, mainly in the US and Canada, but also looking at other countries. And so far, we have three assets, but we also have announced a new Kotek Copper division. The first JV is with an entity operating in the DRC. We're working on a second one in another African country. And so we think we can create a tremendous amount of value for the shareholders, including ourselves, with this model. So we're very excited about it. I think it's very timely. It's getting a lot of attention in DC as well, with the administration. The most advanced business so far is our magnet recycling business, because we have a unique technology which was developed in the UK, cost $100 million, took 20 years, And it's a very quick shortcut to create the powder to remake magnets from old magnets. And we already have a plant of commercial scale operating in the UK. We've just started a new one in Germany, and we're very excited to roll that out in the US. And for relatively little money, we could provide, we think, a quarter of the US's magnet needs within a couple of years. So I think that's enough for the moment.
Well, Julian, several questions. First of all, when you say that you're looking at disruptive technologies, is it so you're buying them, you're advancing them? So a couple questions. Do you own them? And then who are your clients and what are the biggest problems you're trying to solve? I guess is it the companies that are working with you to expedite, to accelerate, make things easier and cheaper for them? So if you can address those questions.
Well, each technology is different. We own at the moment, and we have interest in six technologies, and then we have the exclusive right to a couple of others, which we don't have any shareholdings in. So they are different models. But generally, what we're interested in is not the licensing model. The licensing model doesn't really capture the value that a technology can unlock, particularly if the technology is the unique key to unlocking the value of the metal content of a waste dump. So our model is to own the dumps, or at least JV with the owners on a 50-50 basis. So we're all about, as I said, recreating the model for the mining company. So we will end up with diversified operations, but unlike the big companies like Anglo American, Rio, etc., we're not going to end up being a conglomerate. We are The model is to scale a particular commodity, and then once it's large enough, spin it off to the shareholders, which is what we've announced we plan to do with the magnet recycling business as our first example.
So, I guess one of my questions is, who are your most engaged clients? What kind of companies would you say you're helping the most? And then, are these six technologies that you have? Would you say that your clients kind of overlap with all six of them, or is it kind of like, let's see what's on the menu and see how they can help us and see
Well,
which technology? I mean, are you trying to do a particular focus where, hey, these are the kind of companies that should reach out to us?
I think first of all, and we should move along from the technology piece because it's really the value is in the assets. But
Okay.
the technologies, we would like to be the only client for the technologies, ideally, and apply them only to the assets which we own, and then we can just hoover them up around the world and capture the value of the technologies. That's in an ideal world. But some of the technologies are being trialed. For instance, there are two iron concentration technologies. They are being trialed with the biggest steel makers in the world. We have rights to those technologies in certain jurisdictions, but those technologies can also be licensed. So it is a deal by deal basis, but we have significant tax losses. We have this technology portfolio, which is maybe worth $50, $60 million. But the bulk of the value that we've created already and that we are going to create is coming from the ownership of these waste piles and unlocking their metallic content. And we've
Julian,
done
let's go
that.
to your assets. You see.
Yeah, so we have three assets. So the first is the one that we're developing, which is Hypromag USA, the rare earth magnet one. That is moving to open its first plant in Texas late next year. The economics of each plant are that they cost $170 million, and the NPV at current magnet pricing is around $800 million. So they're very high margin businesses. As I said, they are already models operating in the UK and Germany. And the US is, because it's modular, as many of these technologies are, the US is going to be just several modules of what's already operating in Europe. And we are planning a second hub in Nevada, a third hub in South Carolina. Ultimately, we would like to develop 10 hubs in the US. And if we are successful in doing that, and we've already got enough feedstock for the first hub, actually, then we should have a business worth, $5 to $10 billion. So that's the first business, and that's the one that we're looking at spinning off in a year's time on NASDAQ, which we've announced. And Kotech owns roughly 60% of that business.
Bill, sorry, go ahead.
Yes. The second asset is a huge iron ore mine in Minnesota. It's possibly the biggest iron ore deposit in the US. It's 2.6 billion tons, around 35%. It has 200 million tons of tailings. We've got a concentrator and a pelletizer. Replacement value is $1.3 billion. We want to do two stages. One is to make pellets, DR pellets. The NPV for that project is around $2.5 billion pre-tax. And then we want to move quickly to make pig iron to make the US self-sufficient, which has a much higher NPV. And Kotech owns 17% of that. And that's another business where we're talking to strategics, and maybe we will spin that off as well separately. And then the third asset is a iron ore deposit in northern Quebec. It's the tailings from the old Lac Chenin mine. We have an option to buy that for $2 million. The NPV of the project is around $100 million, and we can add to it by putting additional technologies into it. So all in all, I think we've created a lot of value already, and we're just getting started, Steve.
Julian, if you can just let's rewind a little bit. If you can kind of tell me how you got plugged in, why Kotech was started, and just kind of what you've been able to accomplish so far, but also where are you looking to take the company, and why should investors be interested?
Well, I mean, first of all, I've been investing in the natural resources sector since around 2005, and we have a very, very good track record. We invested around $600 million. We turned it into $3 billion. We had some great successes with Western Coal, with spinning Mantos Copper into Capstone Copper, where we turned a $300 million investment into something worth around $4 billion today, but we didn't have the full shareholding. And so it was after that that I was thinking, where's the next value to be created? And we've already taken the price of Kotech from around 20 cents when I joined. It's now about 150. But if you look at our latest presentation, it shows the NPV per share of over $20. I think we're going to create a lot of value. I think there's a lot of value to come. And as I said, we're going to spin off that value to shareholders so they will get distributions regularly. So I'm all in. My family trusts own just under 50% of the company. The other directors own around 10%. We continue to support the business. Our share price has tripled probably in around a year. And that means that we're now of a size starting to attract, some smaller family offices, some smaller hedge funds, some smaller institutions. So that is the market we are going to start to move towards. But at the moment, the shareholder base is a lot of family and friends and retail investors.
And how many shares outstanding do you have right now?
We have around 120 million shares outstanding.
And what about your market cap? Where are you right now, and what's your plan for growth?
So our market cap's around 180 million Canadian dollars, which is roughly, 10% of what the sum of the parts in our presentation suggests the business is worth. And it's really getting out and telling the story, but also, the catalysts that we see, getting investors to come in at the asset level, at a closer to valuation metric so we can get better marks. Starting the construction of our plant in Dallas-Fort Worth will be another major milestone, some offtake. So there's going to be a whole bunch of announcements, and hopefully as that happens, and we tell the story more, and market the individual elements, people will understand what we're doing and how much value we're creating.
Julian, if you can be so kind as to tell us how people can learn more about you on the website. Do you have like socials on X? Where can people find you with questions they might have?
Well, I think the best place is our corporate presentation on our website, which gives a good initial view. We are also doing some online marketing, but generally we try and just be accessible. If people ask questions, they can reach out to the company, and we're very happy to respond to those.
Great. Julian, anything about Kotech that you find is misunderstood? I have you here and love to get our natural resource audience to know exactly who you guys are and why people should be excited. If you any other additional words of what
Well,
problems you're solving, where you hope to take the company?
there's a huge opportunity in waste. In Canada alone, there are 10,000 closed mine sites. In one province in Australia, there's 20,000. It's huge and it's untapped. We believe, the unique key to unlocking that. So we are going to be executing. The aim is to have 20 sites by the end of the decade, which we can scale and spin off to shareholders. We think we're going to create a lot of value, and we're putting our money behind the story because we can see how it's working. And I think it's an idea whose time has come.
And one last question. When you say it's working, can you expand on that a little bit more, if not
Well, I
in
mean,
terms of
first of all,
operations?
the technologies are all working.
Okay.
Fortunately, we haven't had any failures, and they've been testing and scaling very well. But one of our assets is a, as I said, in Minnesota, it's a mine restart, it's a brownfield restart, and we've had a new flow sheet using our technology, which has produced incredible results, double the recoveries of what they've managed to do historically. The magnet recycling business is working in the UK and Germany. We're producing tons of magnets, thousands of magnets. The testing in Quebec on Lac Chenin has also been excellent. We've had excellent drill results. We've had good response from the government and other key players, and I think we're ready to bring that one into production in 2 to 3 years. So unlike traditional mining, which can take 20 years, our model is to produce revenues in 3 to 5 years, much quicker, much lower risk, and we believe we have the unique key with our technologies.
Awesome. Actually, Julian, I'm looking at your capital structure, and if you can just tell me about, I know you guys, so you have your family trust has just under 50%. Any other major shareholders or institutions? I know that you guys were looking to draw them in. And then if you can also tell me about the warrants and the story behind that.
Well, there are some institutions like Rothschilds. There are a couple of hedge funds. There are a couple of smaller institutions in Canada who've become investors. The warrants, we had a bunch of warrants with our last capital raise at 70 cents, which were exercisable at $1.20. Almost everybody exercised those, and they're well in the money now because they've made, another 30% in a couple of weeks. But we aren't planning to issue zillions of shares at all because, we own such a big shareholding. We want to make our money from capital gains. So we're trying to hold the shares quite tightly, just adding a lot of value.
And you said in the last year or so, you nearly tripled your stock price. Is that what I heard?
Well, it was around 50, now it's around 150.
What do you think was the biggest driver for that? Are people just
Well,
catching on?
I think people generally understanding the importance of critical minerals, broadly. And then also, although we don't put magnets and, rare earths in our name, I think people seeing the value that's being attributed to some of these rare earth and magnet businesses and seeing the read across to ourselves. But as I said, we continue to be severely undervalued by comparison to those, free pure plays that are listed.
So, Kotech.ca, TSXV, CTH, OTCB, OTCQB, CTH, CF. Julian, did I get that right? Julian
I think
Treger?
so, Steve.
Julian Treger, CEO of Kotech. Julian, thanks so much for being here.
Wonderful to meet you and spend time with you, and please follow the story.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.